Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 138. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me, once again, is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
Are you ready to Yeti?
Boy, am I ever ready to Yeti, Pete, because we are still on the road to E3 2018. It is less than a week away, and we have plenty of games to talk about. We have a little bit of news, and we have, of course, our E3 wants and predictions that are going to be the big topic for this week's show.
Mm-hmm.
However, before we get to that, let's start by talking about a brand new Nintendo release. It actually comes out this Friday as we're recording this, and that is Sushi Striker: The Way of Sushido. It is coming out on both 3DS and Nintendo Switch, and even though the game's not out yet, the demo is out, and this is basically a cute, charming puzzle game with a fairly high-end presentation.
Mm-hmm.
It has these pretty impressive animated cutscenes, and they even made two versions of the cutscenes with the female and male versions of the main character. You can choose what gender your character is.
That's right.
Pete, did you grab the demo, and if so, what do you think so far?
Yeah, Chris, I actually played it on the Switch over the weekend.
Now, did you play it with the touchscreen controls or the regular controls?
I played it with the regular controls.
Okay, well, my advice would be you should play it with the touchscreen if you can. It seems very much like it was designed for the touchscreen. And in fact, you know, with the dual screen presentation on 3DS, it almost seems like it might be a better playing game on that system, even though it doesn't look quite as good.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that. The game itself, you know, plays well with, you know, your standard controls. But I can imagine that the touchscreen works really well, even on the Switch version.
Yeah, I mean, it seems at first like it's okay using the standard, you know, button and joystick controls. But I guarantee, once you start playing with a touchscreen and experience the responsiveness of that, you'll probably not want to go back to the standard controls.
It's like you at Disney World.
Sure, if you say so.
Sorry, that makes no sense.
Well, speaking of things that, you know, don't make very much sense, the most interesting thing about this game, perhaps, is that it is set in a world where there are no fish and sushi is forbidden. So there are these magical creatures called sushi sprites that produce sushi. And I still don't quite understand how this works. Like, if there are no fish, what the heck is this salmon sushi or tuna sushi made out of? Like,
yeah.
Is it not actual fish? If
yeah.
There are no fish, are they like... is it just rocks they're pretending to be salmon and tuna? It's a little bit disturbing.
Some questions are best left unanswered, Chris.
Perhaps so. Anyway, regardless, this is sort of Nintendo's take on a Match 3 puzzler, I would say. Only instead of Match 3, it's Match 4 or Match 5 or Match 10 or Match 20. And so you are moving around from one colored plate to another, and the pieces are scrolling by across the play field. And as you match up the colored plates of sushi, you are then attacking your opponent while they're attacking you, and that's how the game goes.
Yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head.
And then on top of that, there are these Pokemon-like sushi sprites that I was talking about, and they can grant you different powers, and you can use these powers in battle for different effects, like restoring your HP or upgrading your defense. And I believe there's also stuff you encounter later on in the game, like special items you can equip, these icons you can link during gameplay for added attack bonuses, and then, of course, you can also earn experience and level up as you play. So, you know, it's fairly deep, much deeper than your regular puzzle game, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. It is funny, though, that you mentioned that fact that the sprites look like Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that the, you know, if you're really looking for a game with a deep story, you probably should look elsewhere. This game really reminds me of Pokemon in the way that you, like, kind of encounter each character.
Yeah, totally.
You run into a lot of generic people, and they're like, hey, why do you want to get all the sushi? Let's fight!
Yes.
And yeah, there's not much storyline to it, but what is there is kind of funny and it's well written. It's just, you know, you're not going to be riveted like Fire Emblem or something.
Right. I mean, you know, compared to a standard RPG or something, no, it's not a very deep story, but compared to your average puzzle game, yes, there is a lot in there.
That's true.
However, you know, my main takeaway, when you look past all these trappings, you look past the animated cutscenes and, you know, all of the items and, you know, Pokemon-like characters you can collect, my main takeaway is that as far as the gameplay goes, it seems like it depends a little bit on luck. Like, the colored sushi plates are moving back and forth and you don't really know what's coming. You know, you might, you know, click on a color that, yeah, suddenly a whole bunch of them are going to arrive, or you might, you know, have a very hard time, you know, creating a chain of the matching color. So in some ways, it seems like it just kind of boils down to luck. And even with all this extra stuff, it seems kind of like the gameplay is going to remain very, very similar throughout each and every match.
Yeah, I got a similar feeling. I mean, nothing crazy like a Candy Crush or something, but, you know, you definitely feel more in control than a game like that. But yeah, I can definitely see there's a huge element of luck to the game.
And while I do think that's fine for a puzzle game, a lot of puzzle games have elements like that, I'm not sure that it has what it takes to make me want to spend $50 for the Switch version or $40 for the 3DS version for a full-priced game. It certainly feels more high-end than what I initially thought was going to be just a budget digital release, but I still kind of feel like, you know, this isn't worth the same price as, you know, your major game releases. Like, if it was $30, you know, maybe that seems about right. $20 sounds even better, but it's very hard to convince me that this is, you know, a must-have $50 purchase.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. The price definitely seems a little high for what you get.
I mean, certainly they put a lot in there for the kind of game it is. And, you know, clicking around, you know, moving the plates around, you know, watching the funny cutscenes as the guys get KO'd by, you know, these huge stacks of plates of sushi. It's fairly entertaining. I'm just not sure it's a purchase yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's very entertaining. I do think that the price is a little high since it's such a, you know, a brand new IP. Really, you know, it is made by Nintendo, obviously, so that's a plus.
Yeah, that's certainly a feather in its cap.
So, you know, it's going to have some, you know, high level of polish and high level of quality. But at the same time, it just, I kept thinking, like, I want to buy this game, but for that price, I just don't know.
Yeah, that was the exact same feeling I had. Of course, as for anyone who is on the fence, that demo is out there. You can download it. You can check it out. I have to say, the demo ended really abruptly, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're going through this sequence of enemies, and it seems like it should maybe end as you're, you know, getting to, you know, a boss fight or maybe after the boss fight. But instead, you're like talking to some flunky. It's like, I've got this great power. And it's like, demo's over. It's like, what? That was very odd.
Yeah, it was really strange. Mm-hmm. I will say, I know you mentioned this already, but the anime cutscenes really are awesome in this game. And it really feels like you're watching some anime that never got released.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you can tell they are very much aiming this to hit kids, you know, right with the kind of stuff they like with Pokemon and that sort of thing. With the characters, with the cutscenes, with the designs. You know, it's very well put together in that respect.
What do you mean, kids?
Well, Nintendo fans of all ages, really. But you've got to admit, I think they're really going for that, you know, under 13 demographic. However, my other little issue with this game is that I do feel it sets unrealistically high standards for sushi. Now, if this game were called, you know, Pie Strikers or something, and pie was presented as the world's tastiest food, you know, maybe I could get behind a little bit more. But I'm afraid that impressionable young kids are going to get very excited for sushi the way I got excited for Turkish Delight when I read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe when I was a kid, only to be completely let down. Because I dare say that most Western kids will not find raw fish as enticing as it's presented in this game.
You're probably right, but that's kind of a stretch.
I feel like this whole thing was subsidized by the Sushi Association or something like that.
I don't know. It just made me hungry.
I'm pretty much joking about all that, but yeah, I'll bet there are going to be some kids who are like, oh my gosh, I've got to eat sushi now after I play this game. It looks so great.
Yeah, and then their parents will be like, what? Okay.
I'm sure some will like it. I'm sure some will be like, oh, gross, but yeah. You know, whatever. Anyway, moving along, let us now talk about another game that's coming out later this month on Switch, Mario Tennis Aces. Now, that game is not out yet, but there was also a demo, and while I sort of missed my window of opportunity, Pete, you did get a chance to check it out, right?
I did.
All right, well, tell me all about your experience.
All right. Yeah, so the new Mario Tennis, you know, I gotta be honest, I don't think I really played much of the last tennis entry.
For Wii U, Mario Tennis Ultra? Yeah, that was very passable. It was a bare-bones release.
Yeah.
And this one, fortunately, is not.
Yeah, it feels like this one they really doubled up or doubled down for what it's worth.
They can go up, they can go down, they can do whatever.
Right. So, you know, obviously this demo was only available this weekend. Hopefully you guys got a chance to try it. The main thing is, right when you turn on, you basically get like a little tutorial on how to play. And there's a bunch of different techniques. Like any of the Mario Tennis games, you kind of know what you're getting. I would say the main thing that was different in this one is that there just were a lot of finesse moves, right? There's a lot of these special attacks you can do. I forget what they're called, but you basically dodge and like can do cartwheels to hit a ball back.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like there was a lots of different techniques you could pull off based on the footage that they had already shown. To be honest, it kind of seemed sort of intimidating.
Yeah, and I mean, there's even like a slow motion bullet time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have had elements of that in past Mario Tennis games. I feel like this was the most complete. I've seen a lot of references online to almost like it being like a Street Fighter. And I would say that's pretty accurate. There's just a lot of nuances that almost turn it into like a fighting game.
So how was it as far as the gameplay goes? Were the super shots really cool to pull off? Were they as tricky as they kind of looked?
Yeah, so, I mean, there is a ton of strategy to it, right? Like, if you charge a shot, and while you're charging your shot, the more you do that, the more your meter fills up.
Okay.
And then when your meter gets full, you can use one of your special shots. But honestly, the special shots, you know, I don't know if it was different if I'd played it on Sunday night after people had had a chance to play it for a while, but I only saw a couple special shots in like probably 20 games.
Hmm.
The thing is, I don't think the focus is really on that. The focus is really just beating your opponent however you need to do it. You know, sometimes I would play somebody who would play far back and I'd be able to do little like dink lobs right over the net and they wouldn't be able to run forward fast enough to get it. And it was, you know, it's kind of like whatever is most effective. It's like, to liken it to Street Fighter, it's like, yeah, sometimes you can just jump in and do little leg sweeps and you don't have to do any special moves at all. But the special moves are there. It just depends on who you're playing.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, and to go further into this demo, basically you get the chance to play against computer or online against other players.
Right.
And if you choose to play online against other players, you kind of get entered into this like tournament system. Kind of weird because at all times you're like basically in this tournament. Like if you win a game, you start off like on the first branch of the tour.
Hmm.
And then the next game you win, you go to a deeper layer where someone else had to beat one or two or three or four people to get to where you are.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's not just starting at any time. It's starting at all times, and I couldn't really understand exactly how it was pairing me with other people, but I thought it was actually kind of fun, and I did notice that each time you get down another level, the difficulty does ramp up, so I think you are playing people that had to beat one or two or three or four people, as I just said, to play.
Okay, that makes sense.
So your fourth round, you're definitely going to be playing somebody who's fairly good because they beat three players to get there.
Sounds like it's fairly well thought out then.
It is. The one thing that I'm really bummed out to not get to play is the single player mode, like the adventure mode they're calling it.
Yeah, the story mode.
Yeah, story mode. And I really would like to play that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect to want to buy this tennis game, but after playing the demo, I was pretty impressed. I think that playing online would be a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
especially just kind of sit down and like see how far you can go. If they continue this tournament style, or if there's like another mode where you just play people for a score,
mm-hmm.
I think there would be something to it. I like online multiplayer games, especially where you can't really hear a lot of trash talk. There's none of that in this version. I don't know if that'll change with the online service or not.
Well, I mean, it's up to you to put on your headphones and
yeah.
use the app, I guess, to talk to people.
Right. All right. I suppose playing against a friend would be pretty fun, too. Oh, yeah, and I should also mention that there's a bunch of characters, and you can even unlock some during the demo.
Oh, nice.
And just by playing the demo, you get, like, a different outfit for Mario.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah.
Kind of sorry I missed out.
No kidding, right? I will be happy to report that you can play as Toad.
Okay.
I will say that there's some fan favorites in there, like Rosalina and Chain Chomp,
right.
which is kind of cool.
I believe that's his first time in a Mario Tennis game. And Spike,
yeah,
also.
Yeah, I just saw Spike. Yeah, crazy, right?
Not the Spike from the Super Mario Brothers movie, unfortunately.
Are you sure?
Well, I could be wrong. So this is definitely going to be a purchase for you, you think?
I'm really heavily weighing towards it. I think it is the best tennis game that I have played in recent years. I feel like there's been sort of a tennis game drought as of late. And the one on Wii U just wasn't that great. So
no, it was not very fully featured at all.
For having not really enjoyed a tennis game in a while, I really liked the, you know, again, sort of fighting game aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
There were moments in my games where, like, all of a sudden the action would just come to a standstill, where you wouldn't expect that in a tennis game, but because of everything that was going on. You know, guy tried to smash it into my court. I blocked it. You know, there's also this whole mechanic of your tennis racket breaking.
Oh, that's right. Did that happen while you were playing?
It did, actually. I think to me. Ah. Luckily, it was just the first time it happened, and it didn't cost me the game.
I see.
Anyway, good times all around. I highly recommend it for anybody on the fence.
Yeah, overall, it sounds really cool. The thing I was kind of holding out for was, like you, I'm very interested in the story mode, but there's also missions and boss battles. It all sounds really, really fun, and it's coming out on June 22nd.
Sweet.
Now, Pete, another game that I know you've said you're looking forward to is Pixel Junk Monsters 2. Now, there is a demo out in the eShop, so is the full game. Have you picked it up and started playing that yet?
Chris, so I did pick it up.
Okay.
But just the demo.
Oh, boy, you're a filthy liar.
Although I do plan on picking up the full game, I just didn't have a chance to play it.
Well, I picked up the demo as well, and I did play that. It seems rather short. There's only, like, one stage, and you only have three types of towers you can build. Cannons for ground enemies, anti-air guns for flying enemies, and arrows for both. But certainly, the game seemed very polished, very competent, very pretty. I just wish there were more to it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think that having played the original, this experience for me was probably a different one.
Okay.
So really, you know, I'm going to tell you, there's not a whole lot of difference gameplay-wise between the first one and this one.
Okay.
But that isn't necessarily a bad thing. I really enjoyed the world of Pixel Junk Monsters, the original. And this really feels like it's more of the same. It's got the music that I like. It's very, like, ambient. There's just this, like, charm to the game, and I don't know if you experienced that at all, because I really felt that in the first one and I liked it a lot, and I feel like this one has it in spades as well, only they translated into 3D, and I think it works really well.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly has a very unique presentation and unique charm, and, you know, the world is different from anything else I've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that is significantly different about this one is that you can switch into that full 3D view.
Yeah.
And explore the world from this, you know, over-the-shoulder viewpoint. I did not tend to play that way. Did you check it out that way?
You know, I didn't play it that way, but I did try it a few times.
Yeah, that was basically the same thing I did.
I will say there were moments where I almost, like, couldn't believe that the game looks that good on the Switch.
Yeah, it's really impressive when it's in that view. Somehow it seems almost, like, you know, better and higher resolution than it is with the overhead map.
Yeah, it's really odd. All right, so if you haven't played Pixel Junk Monsters 2, which, by the way, has my initials, which is the only game I can think of that has my initials.
Oh, and in fact, your middle name is Junk, I believe, so
hey,
that's very appropriate.
Now, I'll kick you in the junk. It's basically a tower defense game.
So it is.
But I think that what it does really well. The character design in this game is great. They look like something out of a Miyazaki movie or maybe, like, I don't know, Tim Burton. This game brings everything to life. Like, it's almost like claymation.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Overall, you know, I didn't get to play this to the point where I would like to, but the difficulty level was through the roof in the first one, and I can only imagine that this one is equally really tough.
Huh.
That being said, I really enjoyed the first one, and I'm absolutely going to pick this one up.
All right, cool. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the final game.
I do want to try out the local or online team up, so maybe if you pick it up, we can have a truce between nemesis for once.
All right, well, we'll see about that. In the meantime, I have been catching up on a few games that came out earlier in the month, and finally got to sit down on Switch and spend some quality time with those titles. And the first one of those games I was playing was Wild Guns Reloaded, which is a very cool update to the classic 16-bit shooter from Natsume. As the name implies, it is a Wild West-themed shooter, but with a steampunk sci-fi twist. And although each stage is basically a shooting gallery where you're, you know, shooting at enemies in the background, you do control a character on screen who has to dodge and jump and avoid enemy shots. So controlling your cursor with your aim and your character simultaneously can take a little bit of practice. Pete, I don't suppose you played this one or played the original on Super NES?
I definitely remember playing the original, but not this one. What'd you think?
Well, it's pretty fun. It's fun and it's well made and it has a lot of cool features. It has four player simultaneous gameplay and four different characters. There's, like, your standard two main characters, a male and a female. They've got, you know, typical weapons and actions. And then there are two advanced characters. There's Doris, who's this heavyset lady with these charge-up grenades. And she's really strong, but kind of slow. She takes some getting used to, but she's a really cool character. And then there's a dog. Yes, you play as a dog who has a homing attack and this little robot that lets him hover. And that might sound like he'd make the game a cakewalk, but both the hovering and the lock-on also takes some getting used to. So both of those characters require some skill.
Cool.
As far as the gameplay goes, the action's very intense, the designs are great, and the game itself is a lot of fun, but it is, you know, very hard, I would say, and also kind of on the short side.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There are only 6 stages, so for the most part, the longevity of this game comes from the fact you're probably going to die over and over again. You're going to die, and you just have to keep trying and trying and trying, you know, kind of like your classic, you know, 8-bit and 16-bit games. Now, there is a easy mode, like a beginner practice mode that has infinite lives, but that's not very satisfying. You know, you can obviously play through that in one sitting. So, you know, the fun of the game comes from, you know, trying to play the higher difficulties, trying to learn the patterns and figure out what you're doing and, you know, improve your skills, defeat all the bosses and get to the end. It is not a particularly lengthy game at all.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I've only been able to play it in single player so far. I would love to play it in multiplayer and see what it's like in 4-player mode. And in fairness, I have played it in 4-player mode on PlayStation 4, but I have not tried it out on Switch.
Gotcha.
Anyway, the value is a little bit questionable at $30, but if you are a shooter fan or you just want something with a challenge, I definitely do recommend it.
Cool. It looks good enough that I'd definitely want to check it out. I also like the idea of all the different mechanics between players.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff going on there. Definitely cool in a lot of ways. Another game I've been playing on Switch that is also a 16-bit homage is called Fox and Forests. And this was a game that was, I think, done through Kickstarter. It was announced quite a while back. I remember seeing a trailer a few months ago, and I was really impressed by what I had seen of the game. However, the game came out a couple weeks ago with almost no fanfare. Like, you know, Nintendo publishes a weekly announcement about their new releases, and this wasn't even on the list. They didn't even mention it until like 2 weeks after it came out.
That's tragic.
But I did get a chance to try out the game and play it and experience it. And there is quite a bit to like about this game.
Oh?
First of all, it looks excellent. It truly has the look and feel of a lost 16-bit classic, complete with an anthropomorphic animal protagonist. You have a crossbow that also doubles as a sword. And you learn new powers as you progress, like a double jump and a downward thrust. In some ways, it's a typical action platformer, but the main hook that sets it apart is that you can change seasons with the press of a button. And you can't just cycle through all 4 seasons, as that's kind of what I expected. But instead, each level has a predetermined regular season. Like, you start out in spring, and then you press one of your shoulder buttons, and it changes to winter. And so then ponds freeze over, and you can cross bodies of water that you couldn't get past before. The next level, you press the button, and it changes to autumn. So these giant leaves fall down, and you can use them as platforms. And as the leaves fall off trees, you can also see things that are hidden behind the foliage. So there's a lot of cool stuff like that. There's even this shooter level. Yeah, like a you know, side-scrolling shooter level where these pillars of flame block your path, and you can change seasons to summon a storm that then extinguishes the flames, but instead it then creates these dangerous thunderclouds. So you have to be very careful of your positioning there. It does kind of indicate where the clouds will be. But yeah, making sure you don't either fry yourself one way or the other is a little bit tricky.
Cool.
And you have this magic gauge that drains when you're in the alternate seasons. I'm not really sure why it has that, because for the most part, I mean, there are a couple levels where changing the season bestows a big advantage, but for the most part, it just, you know, helps with your level navigation. It really doesn't seem like it should be tied to this meter, so that kind of seems like a questionable design choice, and, you know, basically it just means, oh, well, my magic ran out, now I'm just gonna have to stand here for a minute until my magic refills, because it does regenerate automatically. And then the other issue I had with the game is that you can't advance to the next world just by beating the levels. You have to find these hidden collectibles to open the way to the next world.
Whoa.
And these are often hidden quite well. Sometimes you need to unlock new powers to be able to find them. And so that ends up meaning you have to, you know, go back to previous levels. Sometimes they're inside invisible passageways. Sometimes they have routes that, you know, you can't backtrack on. So it kind of ends up sort of artificially extending the length of the game, and I feel like that was probably unnecessary. But even so, this is still, you know, quite an enjoyable game. In spite of a few odd design choices, the game does look great, it's a lot of fun, and the season-changing gameplay mechanic is a really neat hook.
Cool. Is the fox from this game Titus from the legendary company Titus?
No, this is just Rick. Rick the Fox. Oh. This is not Titus the Fox.
That's too bad.
Sorry to disappoint you. Yeah, anyway, on a Nintendo Power scale, I'd probably give this game, say, a 7 out of 10. It does have a few rough edges, but still pretty good overall. And if you're looking for a cool 16-bit homage, I do recommend checking it out.
Yeah, the screenshots look amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive in a lot of ways. The last game that I was playing on Switch is a brand new title that just came out a few days ago called West of Loathing.
That's the game that kind of looks like a stick figure drawing, right?
Yes. Yes, it does. The graphics are not really its strong point. That's totally the first thing you'll notice is the minimalist visuals. It's got black and white graphics with stick figure characters. It is not the prettiest game, and for me, you know, not the most visually appealing game. However, it does make up for it in a lot of other respects. This is a Wild West point-and-click adventure game combined with an RPG. I think possibly it was based on like a pen-and-paper RPG, but it's not a property I was ever familiar with.
Huh.
So what it lacks in, you know, visual spectacle, it does make up for with some really great, fantastic writing. I can really not emphasize enough how it is some of the best writing I've encountered in a long, long time. And then on top of that, it has these, you know, very solid play mechanics. Obviously, there's a lot of just exploring, investigating, you know, finding certain items and using those to solve puzzles. And then, of course, the RPG element comes in when you encounter enemies. It just has, you know, standard, simple but effective turn-based gameplay. You can choose from three character classes from the get-go. I chose to be a cow puncher because how can you resist a class called cow puncher and the idea of punching evil cows in the face?
You would.
You know I would. I would punch them right in the face and right in the udder. There's lots of places to explore, lots of items to acquire, and lots of gear to equip, as well as plenty of enemies to fight in a, you know, turn-based fashion, lots of skills to earn and level up, and multiple ways to solve many of the puzzles. And, you know, that might be one thing that would be an issue to completionists, because there are some things I don't think you're ever going to be able to accomplish with a single character, because, you know, like, my character's a fighter, so there are some attributes I just don't have. Like, I don't have an advanced lockpicking skill. I can open simple locks, but the more difficult locks, right now I can't do anything about it, and it's very possible I'll never be able to open, you know, certain doors or chests or access whatever's in there. However, other people might not be able to ever beat certain enemies, and they will be able to open that stuff. So it is cool that it has that diversity of gameplay and offers lots of choices like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's lots of content in there. As you explore the overworld, you will uncover lots of locations. Some are important, some are useless, but the sheer amount of things to do is very impressive. I admit, I knew very little about this one going in, but I had a lot of fun with it. I think it's only $11. Or you could hold out for the physical release. I believe there is going to be a physical version from a limited run coming out later this year. But Pete, knowing what I know about your interests in games are, I think you would probably dig this one quite a bit.
You know, for $11, it feels like it might be worth a purchase.
Yeah, I think it is totally worth checking out.
Cool. I definitely dig the writing style just from what I'm seeing online.
Yeah, like I said, writing is absolutely fantastic. Some of the best I've encountered in quite a while. And it's got a great sense of humor to boot, if that wasn't already clear. That takes care of the game impressions for this week. Let me just mention one little tiny bit of news that kind of snuck up on me. You know, it was Free Comic Book Day last month, about a month ago. You know, they had a special day where you could get free comics, certain free comics, at your local comic book shop. Did you happen to pick up anything on Free Comic Book Day, Pete?
I didn't. I missed it this year.
Well, one thing that I picked up and then totally forgot about was a ARMS comic book from Dark Horse. And it turns out there's going to be a full ARMS graphic novel series coming out next year. This was just sort of a teaser. It was very short. It was just sort of the introduction of Springman and, you know, sort of, you know, telling where he came from and what his mission statement is. But it looked pretty good. The comic was well written. Also, it happens to be by the writer of Sonic the Hedgehog and the late lamented Mega Man series, Ian Flynn. So I just wanted to put this on people's radar. Know that it's coming out. You know, if you missed this issue, you know, it's probably not the end of the world, or you could, you know, maybe pick it up on eBay for really cheap since it was just a free comic. But yes, I just wanted to let people know that is out there, and there's more coming soon.
Cool.
All right, then. Let us move along to some listener mail. This first letter comes from Joey T., who writes, "With summer approaching, which four Nintendo characters would be great for a road trip? I wouldn't want to take Navi. She would backseat drive the whole way."
But wouldn't she also tell you where you're going?
I suppose she would. So that is a personal preference. But Pete, what would you say to Joey's letter? Do you have four characters you would take with you?
I think so. I think Toad would be riding shotgun.
Okay.
You know, because Toad's my homie.
Regular Toad or Captain Toad?
Probably regular Toad. Captain Toad might be a little too big for his britches.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. And then I think Captain Falcon, I would actually want him to be the driver.
Okay.
Right?
Sounds a little hazardous, but certainly he is very good at that driving stuff. So, all right, that makes sense.
Right, and then I was thinking maybe the Eggplant Wizard.
Hmm.
Because you never know when you might want to turn somebody into an eggplant.
If you get very hungry, that's very useful.
Right, or if a cop pulls you over, turn him into an eggplant. There can't even be a law against that, right?
Probably not.
And then lastly, if I'm in the back seat with the Eggplant Wizard, I need somebody small, so maybe Slippy?
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a feeling you might say Slippy.
And Slippy would have to ride in the middle, clearly.
Ah, okay. Not in the trunk?
Not in the trunk!
Seems like a decent selection of characters there.
How about you, Chris? What would you go for?
Well, for me, the first two I would pick would be Bowser and Daruk. Daruk being one of the champions from Breath of the Wild.
Wow. What kind of vehicle are you driving? You got to have a big one.
Well, it would definitely, you know, have an open top. It would probably be one of Bowser's, you know, open top cars that he drove in Super Mario 3D World or something like that. But yeah, I mentioned on Twitter a few months ago that I would love to see a road trip movie featuring Bowser and Daruk. I think that is a great pairing. I'd love to see where that goes. So I would start with those two. Then I would throw in Samus, and I feel like, you know, she would try to, you know, maintain some order. And, you know, try to prevent these two from going totally off the rails. I mean, Daruk is obviously a good guy, but I feel like he could get suckered into some pretty crazy plots with Bowser there. So Samus would be there to, you know, kind of maintain some order. And then, in addition to that, because everything would inevitably, you know, go off the rails anyway, the fourth member would be Chibi Robo. So when we all wound up in jail, you know, Chibi Robo could just, like, walk in there and be like, "Here's the key," you know, just sneak through the bars and hands the key so we could get out and make our run for it. So that is my choice. Bowser, Daruk, Samus, and Chibi Robo.
Nice.
It'd be a blast.
Well, Chibi Robo at least has a butt plug.
Yes. Yes, he does. But we aren't allowed to talk about that.
Right. That's a solid list, Chris. I like it.
Thank you, Pete. Yes. And a very good letter, Joey. Moving on to our next one. This one comes from listener C, and he writes, "Did you all ever do that hashtag GameStruck4? Based on your Perfect Tense episode for Hoff, I'm guessing he would say Mega Man 2, Link to the Past, and maybe Pro Wrestling."
Now, Chris, I'm not cool enough to know what this is, so can you explain what GameStruck4 is?
This was something that was going around on Twitter. It was sort of a request for people to list the four games that best defined them. So what would you say would be your answer to that question? It's not necessarily your favorite games, but the games that have defined you in some way. As for the answer to the question, for me, I think I would have to start with Super Mario Brothers, and you know, I feel like, you know, for a lot of people, that would have to be one of the most honest answers, because that's what got me into Nintendo. That's what really started it all. If it weren't for Super Mario Brothers, I would definitely never have been working at Nintendo Power, and I would not be doing this podcast. So definitely Super Mario Brothers. Mega Man 2 would certainly have to be in there. That really, you know, taught me about, you know, what games could really be, and is one of the first ones that really, really caught my attention and just, you know, impressed the heck out of me. Then after that, I would have to go with Twilight Princess for my Zelda pick. You know, that was a huge part of my career at Nintendo Power. I was doing something involving that game for probably more than a year. You know, I did the review, I did the strategy guide, I was, you know, helping localize interviews about the game. So that one was just a huge part of me. And then for my fourth one, I guess if I'm being totally honest, I would have to do a non-Nintendo one, and that would be Snatcher, Hideo Kojima's point-and-click classic. But if we're going to stick to games that are on Nintendo platforms, I'm kind of tempted to go with Ace Attorney. You know, that was a game that, you know, kind of, again, you know, taught me new things about video games. You know, everything doesn't have to be about shooting and punching and pile driving and attacking, and just presented video games to me in a whole new light and, you know, changed my perception of what could be done with the medium in a lot of ways. Pete, what about you?
All right, I can do this. So Legend of Zelda would have to be my first one. That's the game for me that kind of totally drew me into the Nintendo world. And then I would also have to say Kid Icarus.
Of course.
For obvious reasons. But no, honestly, I just thought Kid Icarus captured my attention as far as this really interesting game with this, you know, crazy story, crazy looking enemies, characters, and really difficult. And it, like, pained me forever that Nintendo never, like, followed up with it. But, you know, now they have. So.
And the main character has the same name as you.
Kind of.
Oh, sorry. That's Pit, not Pete. My mistake.
In Japanese, it's Pit, though. And mine's Pete, though. So not too bad. And then the other one for me would be Super Mario World.
Okay. All-time great.
Yep. Just being such a great game. And I got a dog named Yoshi at that exact same birthday that I got a Super Nintendo.
Oh.
Yoshi's since passed. But, you know, the memories of her and that game and Super Nintendo in general live on. And then lastly, this is a really hard one. If we're going non-Nintendo, I'm gonna say Portal.
Okay.
Just because I think it's one of the best games per the amount of time you play it. It's a very short game, but it's like so good the entire time you play it. So if you haven't played it, play it. If I'm gonna pick something else, a Nintendo related title, I am going to go with Metroid Prime. Yeah, I'm going to go with Metroid Prime.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I played that when I was testing, and I just was blown away at how somebody could come in and use the Metroid blueprint, but go, you know what, we're going to make this in first person. And I kind of got to play it before anyone else did. And I kind of knew when I played it, I was like, this game is going to blow people's minds. And it did.
All right, cool. Seems like some solid picks. C, thank you for submitting that question. Our next one comes from TJ McCart, and he writes, I would love to hear an episode about games that you know are terrible, but love anyways. And I have to admit, I've been sitting on this letter for a while now, because this was when I put out a request, you know, for anyone who had any ideas for big topics for upcoming episodes. And this seems like it would be a great topic. And I kept thinking, is there a way to turn this into a big topic? But to be honest, I don't have a really good answer to this one. Maybe I just don't have the, you know, powers of self-observation to be able to say, yes, these games are terrible, even though you like them. You know, I'm kind of the mindset of, no, if I like this game, then it's generally pretty good. And, you know, I tried thinking about it, and, you know, most of the games I'm going to champion, you know, have, you know, scored pretty well if you check aggregate review sites or something like that. But like I said, maybe I'm just not good at, you know, examining myself and admitting to the truth.
I feel kind of the same way, Chris. I don't really know if I do like any game that's like absolutely garbage. I feel like there's got to be, you know, there's got to be something on the fence. But I know you've talked to me about this before, and I can't really think of any that really come to mind, unless you're talking like maybe, I mean, for you, you really delve deep into Miitomo, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I don't even know if I would count that as a game. But again, like, that's not a game I would say I loved. It's a game that, if we can call it a game, that I played a lot of.
Right.
But I certainly didn't love it. And, you know, I only kept playing it because I felt like, oh, I've got some sort of sense of obligation. Let's see if I can last longer on this than Nintendo did.
Yeah. And you made it, right?
I did. I played all the way up until the very last day. I think I only missed one, maybe 2 days in the entire lifespan of that endeavor.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I lasted much longer than anybody I know at Nintendo who actually was playing the game on my friends list. They stopped playing after like a month or two, and I went almost 2 years.
I feel like they should send you a Miitomo amiibo.
Totally. But as for other games, like, there's stuff that I appreciate, stuff that I, sort of have an interest in, but, there are very few that I would say, it's terrible and I love it. Like, Bad Dudes kind of comes close. I don't love Bad Dudes, but I play Bad Dudes, and I bought Bad Dudes even though I know it's not good, so I guess maybe that comes close. And then I have this bizarre fascination with The Adventures of Bayou Billy. I know that's a bad game. I don't even like that game. But because I really like the soundtrack, I have a distinctive soft spot for that one. So maybe those are the closest ones I can think of.
Amazing. I think for me, if I was going to have to answer this, maybe like Uniracers.
Hmm.
I know that sounds funny, but it's like...
Is Uniracers terrible? I really haven't played it that much.
It's not terrible, but there's nothing special about it. You're basically a bunch of racing unicycles.
Yes, you are. It's got a rocking soundtrack.
It does. I mean, again, it's not bad, and it's hard for me to kind of take a step back. I think the other one that we always joke about, but I really remember playing this and liking it as a kid, was Mega Man Soccer.
Okay, that one I think might actually count.
Yeah, that game I remember thinking was pretty fun. And you since then, you've nothing but poo-pooed on it. So.
I have barely played that game. I didn't own it when I was a kid. I only picked it up in recent years, and my actual gameplay time with that one is minimal, so I don't really know if it's any good or not.
Well, if anyone...
I was not exactly drawn into it, despite it being Mega Man, but that's about all I can say about it.
Well, if anyone out there has played some Mega Man Soccer, I would love to hear your opinion.
All right, moving on to the next letter. This one comes from Travis from Texas. I had to edit this one for length a little bit, and he writes, "The Switch is really getting me back into game collecting and playing after I slacked off a bit during the Wii U era. The little game cases and cards for Switch are something I enjoy collecting, and I find myself trying lots of new genres and indie games I used to have little to no interest in. The region freeness on Switch also opened me up to buying imports from other countries that get physical releases we may not get here in the States. All I'm saying is there are tons of great game options out there for Switch owners, with more being announced all the time. It's hard to keep up."
Well, ain't that the truth?
He continues on, "I see the old Mario film getting some love, but Captain Lou Albano and Danny Wells are the true Mario Brothers come to life for me. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show will turn 30 next year. I love it for all of its weirdness, Mario 2 characters and music, and cheesy live-action skits. Do you have any thoughts on this 80s classic or any other Nintendo cartoons of the era?"
Well, where do you want to start with this one, Chris?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I don't have that much experience with the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I mean, cartoons of that era, obviously, I have seen Captain N, and it is pretty terrible. My brother was really into the Zelda cartoon, because, they did Super Mario like 4 days a week, and then on the fifth day, they did Zelda. And my brother watched the Zelda cartoon, and I thought it was awful. However, I have picked that one up on DVD recently, and I will have to sit down sometime in the near future to watch the entire Zelda cartoon series. But as for Super Mario, I admit I have hardly seen any of it. I remember I did pick up a DVD when we were at Nintendo Power, and that was mostly so I could get a screen capture of Mario and Luigi hanging out with Sergeant Slaughter. And I did put that into the magazine at least once, possibly two or three or four or even five times.
I remember that.
But yeah, it is sort of a gaping hole in my Nintendo knowledge that I have not really seen that cartoon show very much. I mean, I could at least watch the episodes I've got. It's only like, three or four on that DVD. But yeah, I've never really seen it. What about you, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching a lot of these shows when I was a kid and like kind of enjoying them. I didn't have a discerning taste back then, so I don't think I can really, really tell you.
I'm not sure you do now.
Oh, wow. I will say I did watch my fair share of Captain N. I thought Captain N was pretty cool just because it had like all the characters in it.
Oh my gosh! That
but
is
they were
mega.
They
lame.
Were so
that is megalamicus.
But they were so bad. I mean, we could have an entire episode where we just rip on that show.
Well, we did have one. It's too bad you weren't my co-host at that time.
Are you sure I wasn't?
Oh, I'm positive because I went over to Scott's house and got totally hammered. That's the only way I can get through these classic shows like Captain N and the Super Mario Brothers live action movie. I have to drink a whole lot of milk.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely remember the Zelda, excuse me, princess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add. I mean, I feel like they were definitely, like, more than anything, a product of their time. And I just think that they're so dated now that it's just, like, if you watch it, if you try to show kids this now, I don't think they'd really understand. And I think they'd just be angry or just confused more than anything. I think that growing up in the 80s, it made sense. I think it was, like, heavily product tied in. It's like, oh, hey, I just played this game. I love this show. And, you know, I think that that was what it relied on mainly.
Well, I have to say, you know, even with my minimal exposure to it, I know that it was much more true to the property than the live-action Super Mario Brothers movie was. So I certainly give it props for that. Like you said, it's the 30th anniversary coming up soon, so maybe that'll be a perfect excuse for me to pick up a DVD or Blu-ray set and sit down and finally immerse myself in this classic show.
Now, while we're on the topic, I gotta say shout out to Joe, an aging punk on Twitter, for actually picking up the Super Mario Brothers movie because we did the special podcast.
Yes, indeed. Joe, we applaud your strength and courage.
Yeah, and if anyone else has done this, I'm kind of curious. I'd like to hear from you. Just I want to know what the thoughts are. Chris gets pretty sloppy in that, so if you haven't listened to it yet, you should.
Oh, it is quite a treat. Moving on to our last listener letter here. This one comes from Blake, and he writes, "Hey, you were playing the Platoon NES music while you performed your recent dramatic reading, and it reminded me that Diplo sampled that music for a rap song. I think he used the music to a neat effect. I'm not saying that it's a great song or anything, but it's worth a listen to hear the sample, IMO."
Now, have you listened to this one, Chris?
I have. I did check it out a bit. Blake is totally right. Blake, I appreciate you cluing us in on this, because otherwise I would have had no idea. The song is called Diplo Rhythm from the album Florida. If anyone wants to check it out, it definitely is interesting.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the track. And again, I hadn't heard it either. It also kind of led me down this little like rabbit hole where I started looking at a lot of video game hip-hop crossovers. And I still haven't checked those all out, but I'm going to go through the list. There was a little blog I found, but yeah, I was impressed. The Platoon theme on the main screen is awesome. Whoever created that, hats off to you.
Yeah, the rest of the game might not live up to the same standard, but I think that's fair enough.
And I should also say hats off to Diplo for finding that and thinking, this should be in a song.
Yeah, totally. All right, that takes care of the letters for this week. Let us take an intermission, and then we come back. We'll have this week's big topic, which is our E3 wants and predictions. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is our 2018 E3 wants, hopes, and predictions. As we have mentioned, E3 2018 is only about a week away as we're recording this. Obviously, the most exciting time of year, pretty much, for Nintendo fans and video game fans in general.
That's right, Chris. I think we're both clamoring for what Nintendo has in store for us.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of rumors out there. but we don't really know for sure what they're going to be showing off. And it is sort of a interesting and bizarre year for them because, you know, Nintendo's biggest guns have pretty much already been fired. We had brand new Zelda and Mario games out last year that were spectacular.
Yep.
They've already announced a new Pokemon game, which, you know, may or may not have a big presence there at the show. And we already know that Smash Brothers is indeed going to be there.
Right.
So, you know, right off the bat, we know it's going to be heavily Super Smash Brothers focused, but there's still a lot to learn about the game. Is it a brand new game? Is it an enhanced port? But regardless, you know, I feel like when we see Nintendo's booth, it's probably going to be dominated by Smash Brothers, just like last year was completely dominated by Super Mario Odyssey. I'm sure we're going to be very impressed with whatever they have to show us on Super Smash Brothers.
I agree. And, you know, I think I am hoping that it is basically they're going to say, look, everything you got with the Wii U version is here, and now we're just adding more to it.
Right.
And so this is the portable version.
Yeah. So, you know, it is sort of a weird situation where on the one hand, it's like, yeah, brand new game, that would be awesome. But then on the other hand, you kind of want them to say, yes, you're going to get everything from the last game, because then you know that it's already going to have, like, you know, this 50-plus something character roster. You're not going to be going, oh, is Sonic going to be back? Is Mega Man going to be back? Is the Wii Fit Trainer going to be back? It's like, okay, we already know these are going to be here, and everything beyond that is gravy. So, you know, from that perspective, it kind of maybe would be for the best if it is just an enhanced port.
Yep, and I got no problems with that.
Yeah, me neither. A lot of people, of course, think that it is going to be a brand new game from the ground up. And I can certainly see how that makes sense in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't want the same Mario as before. He should be throwing Cappy this time. We're pretty certain that it is now Breath of the Wild Link. Will he have new and different abilities? I certainly wouldn't mind if they changed him up quite a bit. So we'll have to see where it goes. But, you know, either way you look at it, I do expect to get lots and lots of juicy details. Lots of information on the characters, lots of information on the modes. And one of the things I'm really hoping they announce and get into is a very, very strong single-player mode.
Ooh, good idea. You know, I think especially with Switch being something you could play on an airplane, I think that it would be great to be able to have some single-player functionality.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I mean, the single-player modes, they were kind of okay in the Wii U and the 3DS version, but it really wasn't what I wanted. I want something that's really extensive, really meaty. Obviously, the Subspace Emissary mode is sort of the blueprint for a massive Smash Brothers single-player campaign. But, you know, even if they didn't go quite as far as that, I'm hoping they do have something that is, you know, really, really substantial.
Yeah, I even like the, you know, we've talked about these before, but like the target challenges and the event modes where you know, you kind of have just these random criteria you got to meet to beat these specific objectives.
Yeah, whatever they do, I mean, even if it is an enhanced port, I hope they don't go with either of the single player modes that were in those other versions. I want to see something brand new. I mean, I suppose they could have those in addition to something brand new. But yeah, certainly, you know, something more and more enticing. And yeah, some cool mini games like you're talking about, I think that would all be great. Hopefully they will announce all kinds of stuff of that nature. You know, I don't think they're going to announce the full roster when it comes to characters. If I did have to, you know, bet on who else they're going to announce, I would, you know, bet strongly on at least one ARMS character.
Yeah, me too. Makes sense.
Obviously, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, my personal preference would be Max Brass, but I do think that, realistically speaking, that Springman and or Ribbon Girl have a very, very good chance of being entered into the fray.
Or possibly both.
That's what and or means.
You bastard.
So, obviously, we know that Smash is going to be there, but, you know, a lot beyond that is up in the air. So tell me, Pete, what do you want or hope or predict to be seeing at this year's show?
Well, you know, I'm going to start from where I've heard some rumors, and, you know, I don't know if any of these are true or whatnot, but I'm going to say that that Star Fox rumor, Star Fox racing game, if there's any validity to that, I would be a very happy camper.
Hmm, interesting. I'm not even sold on that idea entirely myself. I'm sure part of that is just because you are dying to see the new adventures of Slippy and Uncle Grippy.
Well, as long as Uncle Grippy is a playable character.
Uncle Grippy, by the way, would be the fifth person I would pick for my road trip. He would be stuck in the trunk the whole time.
Not Uncle Amiibo?
No, Uncle Grippy.
Yeah, I mean, basically, where this rumor gets founded is that Retro Studios clearly has been, you know, working on something. I'm hoping it wasn't just the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze port, and they are not supposed to be related to Metroid Prime 4.
Right.
So I gotta see what they're up to. That's, I think that, more than anything, even if it turns out not to be Star Fox Racing, I want to know what they're working on.
That is very, very fair to say, and I completely agree. It has been way too long since we've checked up on Retro and seen anything concrete they're working on, so I am very hopeful that is something we'll finally get to the bottom of at this year's show. Completely agree, yes. However, you mentioned another very, very enticing game I want to see more of, and that is Metroid Prime 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last year, all we had was a logo. According to reports, the game was basically, you know, nothing more than that. Development had really just started. And now, here we are, a year later. Is there going to be anything they can show? Is it far along enough in development? We don't really know, but personally, I would love it if they did have something actually tangible to show us, maybe even to play. You know, I love the Metroid series, and even though I prefer my Metroids 2D over 3D, I am very excited about this brand new entry. I don't really know specifically what I want out of it, but I do really want to see it, and I'm very excited to learn more about, you know, anything Metroid related.
Yeah, I agree, Chris. You know, in terms of hardware, there really wasn't a Metroid game on Wii U.
Correct.
And I think that we were long overdue, and especially with the ability to create a game that just has more, I guess, environment. You know, the graphics are a little bit richer, deeper. They're able to sort of make this game that's more true to like what a vision of, you know, the sci-fi world would entail.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a big draw to the Metroid series.
Yeah, I know you weren't on last week's episode, Pete. We were talking about compilations we'd want to see. But, you know, if Metroid Prime 4 is not ready yet, I would totally settle for a Switch port, you know, update with HD graphics of Metroid Prime Trilogy. I think that would be an awesome way to get everybody excited and up to speed and, you know, ready for this next brand new installment. I think that would be totally a great way to go if Metroid Prime 4 is still a bit of a ways off.
Yeah, I mean, I would play the Metroid Prime series again in any form, really. But yeah,
I even heard that the original Metroid Prime was one of the games that helped define you.
I mean, it sort of did. You haven't seen my abs.
So what else are you hoping to see? I'm hoping to not see your abs, by the way.
So this isn't a rumor, and this didn't come from anywhere except for I saw it online, and it kind of has stuck in my head. You know, back in the day, Nintendo released Super Mario All-Stars, well, for Super Nintendo, right?
Yep.
I would like to see a new Super Mario Brothers All-Stars.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We, I believe, kind of talked about that while I had drinking way too much milk during our Super Mario Brothers movie viewing, yeah.
Yeah. So to go on that a little bit further, you know, just imagine they've got a few new Super Mario Brothers games out there now,
yep,
including the Luigi mode. And there's just a lot of opportunity for some really cool ways to play this. I mean, I honestly feel like playing through new Super Mario Brothers, both Wii and Wii U versions, you know, just on a handheld console, it sounds awesome to me.
So you would want both of those as well as New Super Mario Brothers from the DS and New Super Mario Brothers 2 from 3DS, right?
Yes, I want all of it just crammed into one game.
So would this be also visually enhanced like Super Mario All-Stars was? I imagine you would definitely have to improve the visual fidelity of all those games that were not HD originally.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, they could do that relatively easy and you know, really make those games look amazing on the Switch.
Well, you know, I know I had too much milk when we talked about it before, but I believe I did agree with you at that time, and I still agree with you now. I think that would be a pretty cool product to be out there.
Yeah, especially with, you know, Switch's ability to be so multiplayer friendly.
No, that's true, too.
It just seems like the perfect game to be able to always be able to pick up and play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I really need a brand new Super Mario Brothers game, but I do like the idea of having some sort of updated collection like that. That'd be cool.
What about you?
Well, as for me personally, when it comes to something Mario-related, I would kind of like to see them do a Mario Maker 2. Uh-huh. You know, that was something that, you know, has sort of been, you know, quiet, rumbly rumor for a while now. And of course, there was a rumor a while back there would be a port of Super Mario Maker onto the Switch, because everything's being ported onto the Switch eventually, it seems. but personally, I would much, much, much rather have a brand new Mario Maker game on Switch. You know, I think there are plenty of things they could add to it. You know, I'd love to see lots of new enemies. Obviously, you know, slopes, being able to add that to the level design. And I think there are probably other visual styles they could tap into, like, you know, having something that looks like Yoshi's Island. Imagine that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, no kidding. Although I still am not willing to claim that as part of the Mario series.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, but I still think it would be pretty cool to bring in here. I mean, along those same lines, like, it doesn't make any sense to have something pertaining to Super Mario Bros. 2 since it's totally different play mechanics. But if they brought in that visual style, or what if they brought in some visuals from, like, the Game Boy version? Like, they had it look like Super Mario Land or Super Mario Land 2. I mean, those would also be very, very fun things to add to a sequel.
Yeah, no kidding. I totally agree with you. I think that Mario Maker makes perfect sense to bring to Switch. You know, I think that game really kind of struck a chord with, you know, people who just want to be able to create content using official Nintendo means and share them with other people. And I think just them sort of revisiting the way the games are shared and sort of the online structure of that could be a way they could improve it as well.
Also, I should probably add that even though I don't want it to be a upgraded port, I do think it would be great if it still had all that same content from the original game, so you could still play those shared levels. There's so many great levels that are out there, and, you know, when they inevitably turn off those servers, it would be a real shame for those to go away. So hopefully, you know, they could just, you know, play all those still if they made a Mario Maker 2 on Switch. I think that would be incredible.
Yeah, true.
So what else are you thinking about?
Well, Chris, playing ARMS recently got me thinking about Punch-Out again.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's kind of probably too soon in the system's life to have two boxing games that are really good on it. But I do think that it's time for another Punch-Out from Next Level Games.
Well, I would certainly never object to that. And this feels like a good time for me to say I'm probably not going to object to anything. I could, like, sit down here and just, you know, list off every single Nintendo franchise. Be like, yes, I want all of these. So I am trying to, you know, we're both trying to keep it to, you know, something of a limit here. You know, our top picks, what we'd really want to most see. But yes, a new Punch-Out would be fantastic. And I think it would work out really, really well on Switch. I did like, in theory, the idea of having motion controls in the Wii game. Obviously, as technology has come a lot further than that, so I think, you know, maybe adding something in with the Joy-Cons, I think, would be even better. But, you know, obviously, I want traditional Punch-Out gameplay as well. But, yeah, obviously, I love Punch-Out, and a new installment in that series would always be welcome in my book.
Yeah, and I really thought the Next Level Games kind of nailed it on the Wii version, although by and large it really was a reboot of the original.
Yeah, it was pretty much just a remake.
So I would almost like to see, you know, them do another take where maybe they kind of mix it up and throw some more characters from the universe, the Super Punch-Out characters, you know. I know they did put, like, Bear Hugger in and whatever, but I'm talking a little bit more deeper into, like, their own territory. Come up with some new characters.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I'd love to see, you know, more Super Punch-Out characters, more original characters, you know, maybe throw in a couple weird oddball characters, like, you know, some of the guys from
the arcade.
Well, I was going to say from arm wrestling. Yeah, throw in, you know, Pizza Pasta, bring him back. Right. You know, throw in a pro wrestling homage, bring in Kinkorn Karn or something.
Yeah, absolutely. It does feel about right for that, right?
Sure. Why not? I'd eat that up. As for me, I'm, you know, kind of hoping, this is not a prediction in the slightest, but I would really be happy if we got some sort of Nintendo announcement about Dragon Quest XI.
Yeah. Good call.
You know, obviously it has been announced by Square Enix for other platforms. We know it's coming out on PS4. I mean, we know it's coming out on Switch as well, but there hasn't been any official North American announcement. My guess is that, like a lot of the Dragon Quest games, Nintendo will be releasing it here. And so, you know, what better place to announce that than E3? You know, we already got a, you know, massive, substantial, impressive RPG with Xenoblade Chronicles 2. just about 6 months ago, and Octopath Traveler is not too terribly far off, but you know, I think it's time for another great Nintendo published RPG on Switch as well, and you know, I'd love for that to be official. Of course, you know, I would also love for the 3DS version to actually get released here as well, so I'm kind of somehow holding out hope for that, not holding my breath for it, but that game just looks so freaking cool. I love the way they've combined the 2D and the 3D elements. I would love to see it come out here.
Yeah, I was actually looking at Dragon Quest XI today, thinking, like a video of it online, thinking, man, I really hope this comes out here. But then I started thinking, man, I wish I had more free time.
Yeah, that is always a problem.
But no kidding, I would love to see the support continue over here, and I think it would be a great addition to the current Switch library.
Yeah, and as for the 3DS version, I mean, we know they're still going to continue support for that system up until next year. So, you know, why not include Dragon Quest XI in that lineup?
Why not?
What else you got?
Well, Chris, taking a quick departure from the Switch, I'd actually like to see them announce an N64 classic
interesting.
In all glory and all its, you know, maybe four controller glory. What say you?
Well, certainly, I think there is room for a Nintendo 64 Classic. If they did one, I kind of think they would not announce it at E3, since they did not announce the NES or Super NES Classic at E3. I definitely like where you're coming from, though.
Yeah, I have a weird feeling they will announce it at E3. I know that sounds funny, because they haven't with the past two. I just think that maybe they'll give it a shot this time, because the other ones seem to just release to such weird fanfare that, you know, I think maybe it's the time to do it. Can you imagine, like, a Reggie move on stage where at the end of it, he's like, oh, by the way, N64 Classic in stores now.
I find that very hard to believe. Nintendo, I think, always wanted to do something like that, but I don't think that is going to happen.
Well, hear ye, I declare it. It's my decree.
Personally, if they were going to do another classic system, I would much rather have a Game Boy Classic first. You know, right now with Switch, they're really into this, you know, both on portable and on TV. And I could really see them doing a Game Boy Classic that you know, you can play on the go and also, you know, plug it into your TV and play it that way. Do I really think they're going to? Not really, but it is personally what I would like to see them do next if they continue their classic line.
Cool.
Another game I am really hoping that we finally get some announcement about at this year's E3 is Animal Crossing.
Ooh.
It has been way too long since we had a good console real Animal Crossing game. We had that miserable excuse for Animal Crossing on Wii U. The last one that really came out was the 3DS version. And I've been spending a ton of time with the mobile game, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. I don't really know why, but it's really getting me, you know, into the series again and really hungry for a brand new installment. And it is absolutely time to have a new game. I want to see an emphasis on multiplayer. I want to see an emphasis on online. And I want to see new tasks. I don't want to just be doing the same, you know, fossils and fishing and bug catching. I want to see something new in there. Oh, and I want to see, like, more customization options. Like, you know, instead of just, you know, being able to, you know, use predetermined facades and be able to, you know, determine the location of various buildings, like, you know, be able to, like, you know, build your house from the ground up, like, you know, get some inspiration from Minecraft here, get some inspiration from Happy Home Designer as well, and, you know, sort of combine that into this really robust creative experience in a new Animal Crossing game.
Yeah, totally. I can really imagine that, especially when you played the Wii U version. As you said, I'm the sorry excuse for a game. I really noticed, you know, the HD visuals of the characters, as silly as it sounds, was just...
Yeah, that was the one thing that was great about
really
it.
Really fun to see those characters in, like, high res. Mm-hmm. If you can almost just imagine a game built like that with nice, pretty graphics and completely revamped and maybe has some, you know, updates to the series the way you were talking. I think that that would be a perfect fit for the current library.
Yeah, and of course, with Switch being, you know, mobile and console, that is also a perfect fit for Animal Crossing. So, you know, really cross my fingers that we'll get an announcement on that.
Yeah, agreed.
What's next for you?
Well, Chris, I'd honestly really like to see, and this isn't necessarily just for me, but kind of for everybody. I'd like to see either a Call of Duty port for Switch or some other first-person shooter that is, you know, sort of a must-play on the console.
Well, speaking of shooters, obviously Fortnite is very, very heavily rumored to be coming to Switch.
It's true. That's not quite what I was thinking, but yes, I also would be interested in a Fortnite.
So you want something that's more maybe single-player focused as well as multiplayer?
No, I think the thing about Fortnite is that it's mainly a third-person. There is some first-person aspects to it, obviously, but I'm talking something that's just a little bit more like a traditional shooter.
Okay.
And maybe it's this Wolfenstein, but that's, again, more of a single-player game. I just want something that's like the de facto, hey, I want to play an online game with some friends and involves FPS shooting.
Since I did go ahead and invoke the name Fortnite, you know, my hope would be, you know, for, you know, something in that genre, I kind of want Nintendo to be like, oh yeah, we're going to add some sort of, you know, crazy new Fortnite style mode to Splatoon. I kind of want to see Nintendo, you know, do their own take on the Fortnite formula instead of just relying on third parties to bring that experience. I want them to like Nintendoize it and, you know, not necessarily do a standalone Splatoon game that incorporates those ideas, but, you know, maybe some sort of additional add-on pack in addition to what we know is coming for Splatoon 2.
You know, yeah, I was thinking about that recently. Like, it would be so cool to see, you know, like a Splatoon take on Fortnite. That being said, I do think that Fortnite being on Switch is going to be huge if that is, rumor pans out to be true. I also think that a huge thing about that game is all the custom skins and different things you can buy. And I imagine that if they do put it on the Switch, there will be a load of Nintendo-related IP you'd be able to buy.
That does seem highly likely, doesn't it?
Yeah, so being able to, like, you know, dress your character up as Samus or Wario and, like, just wreak havoc on people seems like a no-brainer that would totally print money.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So, once again, to clarify, I'm not the biggest Call of Duty fan in the world, but I would just like something that is, you know, sort of a familiar pick-up-and-play first-person shooter I could play online.
Okay. Well, moving on to my next choices, I would kind of like to finally see some footage or gameplay of a couple of previously announced titles on Nintendo Switch, those being Bayonetta 3 and the all-new mainline Fire Emblem game that have been promised.
Oh, yes, the prince that was promised.
I mean, I don't know what I really specifically expect out of those. You know, I kind of expect to be more of the same, but I don't think that is a bad thing in either case. You know, I expect lots of crazy, sexy, wild, explosive violence in Bayonetta 3, in Fire Emblem, you know, lots of cool character designs, great story, and just, you know, your traditional Fire Emblem gameplay. You know, I kind of like to go back to just one version, not two versions, like we had in Fates, or three versions, I guess. But still, you know, seeing that series mainline on console once again in HD, you know, that is going to be an amazing promise fulfilled just in and of itself.
Yeah, totally. And also just a great single-player experience to have for those long plane flights or what have you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that series has been knocking it out of the park the last several years, so I just cannot wait to get my hands on the new installment on Switch.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anything else on your list?
Yeah, so I know I just talked about first-person shooters, and I even mentioned Wolfenstein, but I will say, you know, there's this Fallout 76 that's coming out. While I don't necessarily think we would get that on the Switch,
although it is one of the rumors floating out there,
I would like to see a Fallout game come to the Switch, especially given much Bethesda love. And there's also, you know, a rumor that it's like the 10th anniversary of Fallout 3. I think that just getting some sort of de facto anniversary, you know, game of the year, game of the decade edition would be really cool to get on Switch.
Yeah, I don't think that series has ever been on Nintendo systems, so certainly it would be great for it to finally wind up in Nintendo players' hands.
Yeah, and for me, that's kind of selfish reasons. I've actually never played a Fallout, and I've heard good things, and you know, I like me some Skyrim. I know they're different games, but I know that they're a good developer. They put a lot of work into those Fallout games, so would love to try it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
What about you, Chris?
Okay, so my last one, I know there is, you know, like pretty much zero chance of this happening, but, you know, I would love it if they just sort of ended their presentation with saying, hey, we've got just one more thing here, and use that as an opportunity to reveal a follow-up to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
What?
You know, obviously, that game was a huge hit for them. They obviously invested a ton of resources in making that game. I want them to make a Majora's Mask-style follow-up where they take that same engine and take those same ideas and just, you know, reconfigure them into a brand new game that allows them to capitalize on the success of the previous game and give us a brand new experience that doesn't require them to create an entire new game totally from the ground up. So, you know, again, I'm not predicting that in the slightest, but I personally would love it.
Yeah, that's a doozy, Chris. I too would also really appreciate that. You know, I really hope they don't just scrap the Zelda engine for Breath of the Wild.
Right, it seems like it would be pointless to do that.
Yeah, I would. I'd love to see something where they, you know, really do something unique in the spirit of a Majora's Mask, where it's just such a departure from the original.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe it's a Breath of the Wild with a lot more story-driven aspect to it. Maybe not.
Yep, I'll be all over that.
But I like the idea.
All right, so anything else from you?
You know, honestly, one last thing. I really would just like to see some sort of resolution with what's happened to Virtual Console. And whether that is, you know, whatever their solution is this gen, the additional games that are going to come out. I just kind of want to know more info about how I can play older Nintendo games, if there's any way at all, on the Switch.
Okay. Well, I have to admit, that would be cool. I mean, after what they said before, I think that worrying about that at E3 is probably almost as far-fetched as my Zelda request.
Hey, no.
But, yeah, personally, I would love to see Virtual Console make a comeback, but I am not going to hold my breath on that one.
Yeah. If it does come back, it won't be Virtual Console as we know it, but I just want some signs of life.
Well, at the very least, we've got 10 more games that have not yet been announced for the classic NES games on Nintendo Switch Online. Will they be revealed next week? Who knows?
To be continued.
Anyway, that is a whole bunch of stuff. You know, hopefully some of those come true. Obviously, many of them won't. But hey, we've only got a week away. There's going to be lots of fun and excitement. And I'm sure plenty of surprises to be had at the 2018 Electronic Entertainment Expo, coming just a week away.
Well, have fun for me there, will you?
I will have fun for the both of us. And with that said, I believe it is time to wrap up this week's big topic and put an end to this episode of the podcast. But before we go, we do have time for one more thing, and that is, naturally, a dramatic reading.
Nice. What do we got this week?
Oh, this is a special treat this week. I uncovered something very interesting in the Switch eShop recently. So this will be a reading of the eShop description of a game that is known as Pure Electric Love, What Do You Want? Iri Katami. Electric Love. A love-likeness pseudo-talk game, Electric Love, that is atomic in the smartphone. A little embarrassing in a conversation that pounding, romance skill up. Iri Katami started modeling activities from the age of 16, known as Iri, fetish cosplay year. Free model, birthday November 26th, blood type O type, hobby survival game, shooting.
Oh, that's mine too.
Fighter horn blowing.
Wow. That's not a thing.
Romance pseudo top game. In this work, fetish cosplayer Iri Katami is a welcome Otayuki blog. Please tell her with hyper deadly tension. What? Rotation in a good sense. While being healed, make the brain gear turn at super high speed with maid, bondage, etc. Gallery image, movie. What is pure electric love? Reply to questions from her. Please please her. Sometimes a little annoying. Kakahike is important for a love affair. Mail arrives according to the contents of the conversation. You also have movies attached.
Oh.
The end of the conversation will change depending on the choice. Over 150 stories, still images, plus 8 movies.
Oh.
Let's aim at perfection. how to play. Launch the application and select Tell or Touch. Select or touch the content you want to talk to. Choose a call or touch to start love.
I'm feeling weird about this.
Select the option displayed on the screen or touch to advance the conversation.
Hmm. And this is an eShop game?
Hmm, indeed. Yes. Yes, it is. This is in the North American eShop. I did not expect to find it there, but as you know, the Switch eShop can be, it can be a weird smorgasbord of who knows what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I forget what I was looking for, but I went on there and I clicked on this. And the weirdest thing about this game is that it is totally in Japanese. It is not localized at all.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, like, when you look down at, like, what the actual language is available.
Yeah.
The only one that's there is Japanese.
Yeah, and I think that is probably unprecedented. I mean, I know there's been virtual console games that were never localized, and they brought those out. But as far as a brand new game for the North American eShop, I don't think they've done that before. It is pretty bizarre. And judging from the description I read, the game itself is also pretty bizarre.
I just can't imagine, like, Tommy's mom calling up the counseling center being like, my son bought this, and it's in Japanese. I don't know how to play it.
Well, Tommy's mom already should have been aware because the game is rated M, so she probably should have given her tacit approval already.
Mm. Yeah, well, something tells me Tommy's mom's in for a rude awakening.
Yes, very likely, very likely. Okay, that does it for this week's show. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Pete at Burly Red Yeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and of course, if you like the podcast, it would be great if you told your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud,
a winner is you,
and a character who would very much like to be back in Smash Brothers for Switch, Wolf O'Donnell.
Weaklings, the bunch of you.
We will see you next time.